Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big day of League and Cup action across Scotland. Aberdeen v Dundee United is the pick of the bunch later, with Dundee, St Johnstone and Ross County Kilmarnock to come in the Premiership first. A cracking Championship card with Falkirk against Dunfermline, perhaps the best in that league. And what a day tomorrow. An Edinburgh derby and on to St Mirren and Motherwell for Rangers and Celtic after their European exploits. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me in the studio you have Gordon Dalziel, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
We could have a new league leader by this evening if Aberdeen avoid defeat against Dundee United at Pittodrie. Celtic not in action until tomorrow, so Jimmy Tilleen could achieve his ambition of being on his own at the top of the league. And one of the great stories in the making would be Falkirk winning back-to-back promotions and joining the Premiership. Today, something of a derby. Falkirk at home to Dunfermline. It'll be a sellout at Falkirk, and there are 17 points between the teams. So for John McGlynn, a big day. And can Kilmarnock go to Ross County and follow on from their 1-0 defeat of Rangers? And Dundee have the chance to build on their win last week, which was against, am I allowed to say it, Motherwell?
Yeah, a lot of good football over the weekend, and most of the headline acts coming tomorrow. Celtic and Rangers, obviously, how they bounce back from their European exploits, as well as Hearts as well. But I really like the look of that game, Aberdeen versus Dundee United. A different test for Aberdeen later on this evening. And as Hugh rightly points out, Falkirk v Dunfermline in the Championship, that one a sellout, that'll be a cracker as well.
Yeah, I think the lads are right. I think we're in for a terrific weekend of football. They've covered the, obviously, the Premiership, the Championship. You look down the other leagues as well, and also Scottish Cup second round. Come on, the bankies up at Keith this afternoon. We'll have one ear firmly on that.
And I'm absolutely certain Hugh will give an in-depth look at Europe during the week. But just to kick us off, it's been a more positive week than what we sometimes experience when we come together on a Saturday.
Well, how could it not be positive? Because we had three teams who did not even concede a goal. Celtic's result and performance in Bergamo against Atalanta was outstanding. I've heard so much about the lack of quality possessed by Steaua Bucharest. However, to hide behind the old cliche, you can only beat what's in front of you. And Rangers scored four top-class goals, which will boost their confidence ahead of that St Mirren match tomorrow. And as for Neil Critchley, I told you he'd 8 days to save his job, and he started very well. He's beaten St Mirren 4-0. He's beaten Omonia Nicosia 2-0. And tomorrow, I put the house on him, beating Hibs.
Look, I agree. I think that for our Scottish clubs in Europe, Gordon, it was a fantastic week. It started off with Celtic. That's a terrific result in Italy. Rangers and Hearts, both at home. Very comfortable. Great performances. Rangers manager certainly needed it. And I'm looking forward to a weekend, because I think we've got some great fixtures, and we're back to domestic football. Rangers up against St Mirren tomorrow, Celtic at Fir Park, which is always difficult, and then obviously the Edinburgh derby, which I'm looking forward to, but I'm not too sure it'll be as easy as Hugh thinks.
Yeah, we don't often get a week where three Scottish teams play, Mark, and not even a goal conceded.
Yeah, fantastic stuff, you've really got to say. And it's amazing how European form and the feeling around the competition can change in the space of 2 or 3 weeks. You know, Celtic fans may be dreading going to Atalanta after the Dortmund game, but come out of it with such optimism. If you can go there and keep a clean sheet, then you can certainly do it in other places. For Rangers, 4 goals, none conceded, building on what they did against Malmo and forgetting about their home fixture against Lyon. So fantastic stuff. And Hearts, I mean, such trouble this season in the league, but Europe seems to be where they're strongest. Neil Critchley's had a fantastic start, and things are looking on the up for the Jambos.
I think it was a major week for those three managers. Brendan Rodgers had taken a terrible pounding after losing 7 goals to Borussia Dortmund. This programme was nightly full of callers to say, well, if he can't change his tactics to accommodate different matches, then that's a fault. And he did change, and the players did respond, and Celtic's performance was a big psychological lift. but I think a major psychological lift for Brendan Rodgers. Likewise, Philippe Clement looked distressed after the Kilmarnock defeat on Sunday, and the calls to the programme once again were very much showing fans who had fallen out of favour with the manager. But it's a big night for him to get that 4-goal win, and for Neil Critchley, you simply cannot do any better than what he has done over those two games, both at Tynecastle. Neither game saw Hearts concede a goal, and now comes the big picture, the Edinburgh Derby.
Okay, plenty of time to look back on Europe during the week, and we will. But sit back, tweet us if you can, if you wish, at Clyde SSB. I will give you the signal to phone in with your thoughts later on. But let's go around the grounds. A bit of a split card this weekend. Not only are we split across Saturday and Sunday, we've even got a late kickoff on a Saturday evening as well. So let's go Dundee against St Johnstone, because there's finally a new face in the dugout. David Friel, is it Dens?
Yeah, finally gone. A Tayside derby, it's always intriguing. There's a wee bit of extra spice today. A big day, as you say, for new St Johnstone boss Simo Vallecari. Finally, 26 days on, he gets the chance to start the job properly after his work permit was finally approved yesterday. He'll be in the dugout for the first time today. He watched last week's 3-1, 3-0 win over Ross County from the stand. And it's his first proper involvement in Scottish football since May the 21st, the year 2000, when he was in a Motherwell team. This is a blast from the past from you, Gordon. They beat Rangers 2-0 at Fir Park with goals from Kevin Twaddle and John Spencer. So over 24 years later, he's back in Scottish football. I think he's a welcome addition. Vallecari, a really colourful character. You know, I like the tattoos and the earrings and stuff like that. It's a bit different. And he's pleased that his St Johnstone team will attack. He's sent out a front three again today. He was a very good player. He had a decent managerial career so far in Norway, Finland, Latvia. But this is a really tough start from at Dens Park. St Johnstone haven't beaten Dundee in the last six meetings between the teams, and they haven't won in the league here since December 2018. But I think the fans are excited by the appointment, and they will be backed by 1,500 fans, 1,500 St Johnstone fans making a short trip up today. Really, really good effort. Indeed, pretty much in different form, but they were boosted by that 1-0 win at Motherwell last weekend. Lyle Cameron got the goal. I think Tony Docherty and his players really needed that. They'd lost four in the bounce going into it, and they also haven't won in the league here since beating Hearts way back in August. They said this week that Dundee do owe their home fans a win and a performance, and despite an inconsistent run and some poor results, you would imagine they are favourites for this one. But I'm going to go early, I'm going to stick my neck in my line, and I'm going to predict a lot of goals here today. Dundee have made just one change. Mo Sillett is in for the injured Scott Fraser. It's going to be a 3-5-2 formation. Trevor Carson captains the team in goals. Ryan Astley, Billy Cometio and Clark Robertson at the back. Ethan Ingram, Lyle Cameron, Finn Robertson, Mo Sillett and Ziad Larkesh across the middle, with Simon Murray and Curtis Main, a very dangerous front two. Subs for Dundee: McCracken, Sharp, Tiffany, Mulligan, Adewumi, Braybrook, Palmer Holden, Portales and Vetro. As for Johnstone, unsurprisingly unchanged from that 3-0 win over Ross County. Ross Sinclair in goals, Jay Wright, Jack Sanders, Lewis Nielsen and Andre Raymond at the back. Matt Smith, Sven Sprangler and Jason Holt will be the midfield three, with Nicky Clark, Adama Sidibe and Benji Kimpioka. You get two last week up front. Subs for St Johnstone are Ray Cameron, Carey Esso, Kucharavi, McPake, Kirk, Kiltons and Franchak. The referee at Dens Park is Kevin Clancy, and the VAR is Nick Walsh.
I don't want to upset the Home Office or the middleman between us and the Home Office, which we'll call Fraser Wisher. I don't really know what Simo Vallecari was or wasn't allowed to do up until this point. David, we know he wasn't in the dugout, but a great win last week. Did we see a team that was in his image already, or the signs of things to come?
Yeah, I don't think he was officially allowed to do very much, but look, he's clearly been about the club. I think they've just been far more aggressive, far more positive. And the one thing about St John's, you know, you worry about the goalkeeper. We've spoken about this before. They change the goalkeeper a lot, and that's always a sign of a team that struggles. I think defensively they can be better, but they do have options in attack, and they do have a threat in attack. You know, Nicky Clark, last time I watched St Johnstone, he scored 2 free kicks, great goals. Adama Sidibe is such a threat, and Kimpioka, again, so much pace, so much power, got 2 last week. So I think Simo Vallecari has pretty quickly realised you need to play to your strengths, and St Johnstone are going to have a go at this today. As I say, it's a front three, but Dundee are probably going to fight fire with fire. You know, it's Simon Murray, Curtis Main, what a front two that is as well. So as I said, I predict goals here, and I think it'll be entertaining. I think St Johnstone fans are in for an entertaining ride under Simo Vallecari as well.
I think fans of every team say this, to be fair. I've always felt if you need a morale boosting victory, Motherwell will sort you right out, and that kind of happened to Dundee last week, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, and as I said, Tony Docherty has done such a great job. We've all given him so much praise, but it had just dipped a bit. I think it was 2 draws and 4 defeats. And by their standards and with the players they've got at their disposal, that was surprising. I actually fancied Motherwell last week, so for Dundee to go there, a really tough venue, and get a goal, get the win, was big for them. And it's another sign that Lyle Cameron is one of Scotland's most talented youngsters. I had a little look at the scouting list on my way in, and there's certainly a few clubs here from down south, and I wonder if Lyle Cameron is one they're having a look at. I think he's out of contract at the end of the season. Scotland are a 21 player. For me, he's going to make the next step, whether that's England, whether that's somewhere else in Scotland, I don't know, but I'm looking forward to watching him again today.
There's only one man for the Highlands on a day like this. It's Fraser Wishart, looking ahead to Ross County, Kilmarnock.
Yeah, I think my car knows the way to Inverness in this area very well. I sadly had to make a few journeys to try and sort out things from Inverness, who sadly went into administration, but a much more joyous occasion here. I'm looking forward to this game, Gordon. I think it'll be a really good game of football, because I think consistency is a key message for both teams, and probably the same for most Premiership clubs. County had a good run of results, including a draw at Tynecastle, followed by an excellent performance against Celtic, where they could easily have won the game, and then it probably inexplicably to Don Cowie and everybody around this club, and out of nowhere they lost heavily last week in a really key game against St Johnstone. 3-0 is a heavy defeat, so getting back on track today, very important for Don Cowie's men. They'll have to do so, of course, without suspended Eli Campbell, Charlie Telfer, whose red cards last week just added to the agony of that defeat. And Kelly's success last season was also based on consistency, strong at the back, ability to get a goal, but perhaps with the European football at the start of the season that wasn't quite there. But they are now again on the back of an unbeaten run for the last 5 league games, 3 draws, 2 wins. They got late goals against Dundee a couple of weeks ago, and then last week's win against Rangers at Rugby Park. It was back to the Kelly of old, the clean sheet, late goal, hard to beat, but really a deserved win. So Denny McInnes want to build on those victories with another win. 3 in a row would really be a signal that Kelly are back and ready to challenge for the top 6. And like Derek looked like he had a spring in his step earlier on the pitch, although that might have to do with the more to do with the chilly breeze at Victoria Park than anything else. But I think he's really looking forward to this game. Team selection, there's 5 changes by Don Cowie from last week's defeat against the Johns, maybe no surprise. Ifeti, Allardyce, Nisbet and Brophy dropped to the bench. Campbell said earlier is suspended. Brown, Reid, Chilvers, Denham and White come in. 3-4-1-2 formation. Ross Laidlaw in goals, a back three, Akil Wright, Caspar Laporta and Ryan Leake. Across the middle, James Brown, Noah Chilvers, Connor Randall and Josh Reid, with young Aidan Denham behind the 2 strikers, Jordan White and Ronan Hale. Their substitutes, Jack Hamilton, Ricky Lamy, Scott Allardyce, Victor Latoury, Jack Greaves, Josh Nisbet, Michel Ifeti, Alex Samuel and Eamon Brophy. And perhaps not surprisingly, no changes for Kilmarnock from that win against Rangers last week. So they got a 4-4-2 formation. Robbie McCrory in goals, Lewis Mayo, Robbie Dee, Stuart Finlay and Corey Ndaba at the back, Dan Armstrong, Brad Lyons, Liam Donnelly and Matty Kennedy across the middle, and Kyle Vassell and Marley Watkins as the usual 2 strikers. Their substitutes, Kieran O'Hara, Jack Burrows, Joe Wright, Rory McKenzie, David Watson, Gary Mackay, Stephen Fraser Murray, Bruce Anderson and Bobby Wales. The referee today at Victoria Park is Matthew McDermott, and the VAR is the specialist Andrew Dallas.
You have become the Highlands correspondent, Fraser. I'll actually get a brief update from you on Inverness in just a second, but you just wonder, we talk about Celtic and Rangers and how they play domestically, then they go into Europe and it's a very different challenge and they have to adapt. But I suppose similarly for Kilmarnock, they'll be feeling brilliant about themselves for that win against Rangers, but it's so different then, you know, going to Dingwall and in a game that, you know, in theory, an even spread of the ball and all that sort of stuff.
Well, the conditions are perfect, so they can't complain about that. The pitch is looking fantastic, but I know exactly what you're saying. You know, sometimes it's easier to get yourself up for a game against Rangers, especially early on when you can see that the opposition are not in the top of their game and you get the fans behind them and you do have that surface that you're very good in playing on. So Kilmarnock would have been confident going into last week's game. But as I said earlier, it's about consistency, and that's the difference between a team that finishes 4th or 5th in the league and a team that finishes near the bottom, because there's not much to choose really between St Johnstone and Ross County, if you like, and St Mirren and Kilmarnock, who qualified for Europe this year. There's not a lot of difference in them. It's just, can you get those consistent performances? And that's what Denny McInnes will certainly be looking at. Last year, you know, even not at their best, they were strong at the back and didn't lose many goals, but you always feel they're going to pinch a goal. They've got a couple of good strikers, but Armstrong and Kennedy for me are the key to the way that they play. I know Dan Armstrong gets a lot of the publicity, rightly so, but Matty Kennedy for me, really underrated at both ends of the park. He does his shift back in the way, but he creates an awful lot of chances as well. So I think that's what Derek will be looking for today.
You only have 2 3 o'clocks in the Premiership on a Saturday afternoon. The Championship, though, has a full card, and what a card it is. In this part of the world, obviously you would keep a real keen eye on Queen's Park and Partick Thistle, but we've actually gone for one of the other games as our featured match, because how can you look beyond them at the moment? One of these stories, Falkirk against Dunfermline Athletic. Lana Mackay is there. I think you've got a bit of a treat there this afternoon.
Well, thanks, Gordon. What a game to kick off with. Well, good afternoon from the Falkirk Stadium. We know there's no love lost between these two. It's one of the most ferocious rivalries in Scottish football. They meet for the second time this season, and Dunfermline will be on a revenge mission after the Bairns took all 3 points at East End Park in August. 17 points separate the sides in the league, and Falkirk go in as favourites. They're 4 points clear at the top of the Championship, although Livy do have a game in hand. They've lost just one of their first 10 league games and are undefeated at home. Well, across the fourth, it's a very different story for Dunfermline. They sit just a point off the bottom of the table with one win all season. However, the Pars have not been beaten in any of their last 6 visits here. And what better way to kickstart their season than a win against their rivals? Converted chances has been one of the main issues for James McPake's side this season, but the manager says the players can take confidence from their recent performances, and it's just about finding that final ball. Well, can they do that today and cause an upset here at the Falkirk Stadium, or will the Bairns add to Dunfermline's misery? Let's take a look at the teams, and John McGlynn names an unchanged side to the one that beat Hamilton Accies 3-1 last Friday night. Striker Ross McKeever returns to the squad after he suffered a hamstring injury at Celtic Park. He starts on the bench, and it was him that got the opener in the last Kincardine derby. In goal, it's Nicky Hogarth, a back four of Leon McCann, Liam Henderson, Luke Graham, Keelan Adams, Dylan Tate, Brad Spencer, Calvin Miller and Ethan Ross in midfield, Aidan Nisbet and Gary Oliver up top. Substitutes: Hayward, Yates, McKeever, Aguman, McKenna, Shanley, McCafferty and McCrone. On to the visitors, and it's 2 changes for Pars boss James McPake after last weekend's goalless draw with Greenock Morton. Joel Chalmers and Chris Kane come out, and Lewis McCann and Kieran Ngwenya come in. In goal, it's Toby Olwayemi, Aaron Comrie, Chris Hamilton, Sam Young and Kieran Ngwenya at the back. Kane Richley-Hosler, Craig Clay and Ewan Otto in midfield. Matthew Todd, Lewis McCann and Craig Whiten will lead the line. Substitutes: Mehmet, Benedictus, Chalmers, Fisher, Fogarty, Wotherspoon, Sutherland, Cooper and Mabudi. And the referee is Chris Graham.
Looking forward to that one. Thank you, Lana, for the teams there. Just on the topic of the lower leagues, like we said, it is a fantastic fixture card today in the Championship. The eyes are sort of drawn to League One, not too far from here. Dumbarton and Inverness Cali Thistle. First game since administration hit. No Duncan Ferguson anymore. Fraser, in your role at PFA Scotland, what's that involved this week? What's the current state of play there?
Well, this week I was up a couple of times the previous week to speak to the players. I've had meetings with the administrator earlier on the week, and then on Thursday, of course, people were made redundant Wednesday and Thursday, and Duncan and Gary Bowen, a couple of ex-teammates of mine, lost their jobs. Stuart Garden, one of the good guys in the game as well, goalkeeping coach. And then I was up on Thursday to speak to the players, and I have to say, the damage wasn't as bad as I had feared, and I think Charlie Christie did well behind the scenes. Speaking to the director, speaking to the funders as well, Alan Savage is going to fund it, and I was speaking to the administrators to say, listen, keep the squad together, and this team has got a real good chance of staying up. But if you decimate the squad, then it's going to be League Two football, and then it's going to be more difficult to sell. So good thing was that people listened to that. Bad thing is that 3 or 4 players lost their jobs, which is never good. And there's also, remember, a whole host of local creditors who are owed money by this football club, and it genuinely is a community club, and people, I think that the relationship between the community and the business community in particular and the club has probably been damaged, and that's something that needs repaired by any new owners. But certainly people seem hopeful around the club that a new buyer will be in within the next 4 or 5 months. But it's never an easy process, Gordon. I've been through this for the last 20 years, and it's a very tough process coming out of administration. But fingers crossed everything will be okay for Inverness off the park.
Well, Fraser, you spoke about the community club, the rapport the club has with its community. On my train this morning, Fraser, the 11:58 to Balloch, if you must know, full of Inverness Cali Thistle supporters. Now, this is a team hit by a 15-point deduction. They are now bottom of the table on -3. Dumbarton are second bottom on 9, so there's a 12-point gap between them. But they've obviously got on the train from Inverness first thing this morning, transferred at Queen Street, on their way down to Dumbarton. Fraser, you've got to love that.
Yeah, and I was coming up the A9, going the opposite direction. Saw two or three buses as well coming down from up north. And the key for them, Hugh, is to get these people to come to the home games. People that don't normally come, is to get a few hundred more people in through the gate, because that's new money for the home games that goes to the club as well. And that just keeps the club afloat. I think they're quite fortunate. Alan Savage, the former chairman, has funded the club so far and is committed to keeping things going. In the meantime, that's a lot of money he's put into this football club as well. So they are fortunate in that sense, because without that, I'm not sure how the club would have survived. But to be honest with you, people around football clubs know when things are going wrong, and the players have kind of known. I think people behind the scenes have known for quite some time. And as tough as it was, there's a bit of clarity now for everybody at this football club. They know exactly where they are. It's not great, but now they've got to build and move things forward, Hugh, and that's going to be the absolute key, because lots of local businesses are going to lose money over this administration, and that's something you just can't forget. But main thing is, can the club survive? And I'm pretty confident it can.
Well, that's you up to speed on what's happening on a Saturday afternoon. We always reflect on the week's biggest talking points. I think clearly European football played a part there. We'll do that next. Hugh Keevans, Gordon Dell and Mark Wilson looking ahead to a big Saturday of Scottish football. We do generally look back on the week's biggest talking points, and how can you look beyond Hugh Keevans' Thursday night? A combination of Wednesday and Thursday night. Let's go through it in order then. Celtic first. I don't hold it against you too much, because I don't think you were alone, but did you expect something very different from what happened?
I did. I thought that, like the majority of the Celtic supporters, that Celtic would be in for a terrible time in Bergamo. But they played last season's Europa League winners. At the back of their minds, they must have had the 7-1 hammering from Borussia Dortmund in the previous game. And Celtic, to a man, stood up to the task. At times they rode their luck, that is without question. But Schmeichel put in a wonderful performance in goal. Trusty had his best game in a Celtic shirt, and I know he hasn't had many games, but when he was called upon against Atalanta, he answered the call and then some. Likewise, Liam Scales, from Shamrock Rovers to the Champions League is one heck of a jump, but he acquitted himself very well. All over the park, they fought, they harried, they adapted, and they got an unexpected point. The Celtic supporters, by time up, must have been psychologically wrung out, but it was a great display by Brendan Rodgers' team and a big night for the manager.
It's what you have to be when you come up against these top teams. Look, Brendan Rodgers, I don't blame him for trying his way the first time around, because everything was sailing in the right direction, and he obviously went to have a go at Dortmund, who were struggling, by the way, who had a few poor results, and I think Rodgers thought he could get at them. If they get an early goal, the tie would have looked different. It backfired spectacularly. Now, it would have been more alarming had he went into this game with the same tactics and arrogance and saying, no, we're going to play this way and no other way. But he changed. And I keep saying he's an elite manager. People keep coming on the show and calling in and arguing he's not an elite manager because this, this and this. He is an elite manager. And top managers change their style sometimes. Now, once you change your style and go a bit more pragmatic, you need the players to carry out everything, and you need luck within that. And I thought Celtic got that within the night. They had a goalkeeper who performed well. You can maybe say Atalanta should have scored with some of the chances, but they didn't. You had two centre-halves that were strong. In terms of Scales is now, I think we need to forget Scales going on loan to Aberdeen and being a Shamrock Rovers player. He's now a Champions League player. He's had enough experience in this competition and enough starts for Celtic over the years for that performance to be expected of him, because that's what it should be. And he's one of the only constants that's in that side now. So you need all that to come together to get a point away from home in the Champions League. And Celtic have not had a lot of clean sheets over the course. Martin O'Neill, Gordon Strachan, Neil Lennon, not many clean sheets. So it's right to be celebrated. I know people say it's only a point, but it's a good point, and they've got a few crucial games coming up, home games, to get 3 points.
Just going to ask Gordon, I wonder if we, if the full, sorry Hugh, narrative about style, pragmatism, changing, I wonder if it's all been a bit overdone. Because there was, and David Friel, I'm sure will have heard the comment yesterday, Brendan Rodgers said yesterday, and if we're going to take him at face value, which I think we have to, that believe it or not, it was pretty much the same game plan as Dortmund. But the difference is
we've done the right things.
You need some things to go your way. You don't concede early, then your head doesn't go, then the gaps stay together. So I know he's got a lot of praise for changing and learning, but actually he says the plan was pretty similar. They just carried it out differently,
and the plan certainly worked. I agree with you. I thought they gave up a couple of chances first half, rode their luck a little bit, but you've got to do that. Mark talks about a good point. I think it's a terrific point, and the reason I'm saying that, it takes a little bit of pressure off their next game at home. They're now sitting in 4 points. Would you have accepted that? Of course. Hugh touches on two centre backs. I thought they were absolutely brilliant. I really did. Second half, absolutely brilliant. And also, the full team played their part right. Now, you could look at the tactic and say, well, he changed Kyogo for Ida. Now, he was there because Brendan Rodgers knew that they were going to press from the front. That ball from the goalkeeper into Ida, Celtic tried to get out. He didn't complete it a lot, but I thought tactically it worked, and he broke Kyogo on, looked very lively, and very unlucky not to probably get 3 points. But I'll give a special mention. I thought Alistair Johnson was terrific, and the reason I say that is he got booked very early, put himself under pressure, and everything that they threw at Celtic come down that left hand side.
Block just before half time.
Yeah, and if he gets that wrong, Gordon, Celtic are now in real trouble. I thought the full team played their part from the starting 11 to the subs to the manager.
Yeah, definitely Celtic's best right back for a long, long time, you would have to say. A long, 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 long,
long
time.
Long, long time.
David Friel, what was it then? Was it a lesson learned? Was it a new way of doing things? Or was it actually people just did their jobs a bit better?
Yeah, I think it's just people did their jobs a bit better. I think Liam Scales used the term old school for the sort of defensive performance. But Gordon, for me, it was just more compact, more aggressive. I thought it was really interesting, Brendan Rodgers singling out Arne Engels as well yesterday. For me, in Dortmund, Callum McGregor was just left alone so many times. You know, he was abandoned by Paulo Bernardo in the first half in Dortmund and Arne Engels. I felt against Atalanta, Hatate was closer to McGregor, Arne Engels was closer to McGregor, and as Brendan Rodgers said yesterday, Arne Engels went out there with a specific job of looking after Ademola Lookman. Now, he scored a hat-trick in Europa League final, he's probably viewed as Atalanta's best player, and he was so quiet by his standards. So I think Arne Engels, although it wasn't flashy, I think he did a really, really good job. There were stats doing the rounds yesterday about his recoveries and defensive duels and all that, so I think there were certain tweaks to the game plan. I agree with Brendan Rodgers in a sense that it was a 4-3-3 again, but I think Celtic were just more compact. They gave up the wide areas, and when you give up the wide areas, you need your defenders to be strong, you need your goalkeeper to be on it, and Celtic had all of those things. I agree with everything everybody's saying. Schmeichel was excellent, Trusty was excellent, Liam Scales has been a revelation. He's now for me a first choice at Celtic. I know people are probably expecting Austin Trusty to replace him long term. For me, Liam Scales is Celtic's, right now, Celtic's number one defender.
Well, we had Ross McCormack on Super Scoreboard last night, and in spite of what we say about Trusty and Scales, Ross McCormack was of the opinion that if Cameron Carter-Vickers is fit, he returns to the side tomorrow against Motherwell, and never mind how Trusty or Scales feel about it.
Okay, on to Thursday. How healing was Rangers' victory, Fraser? I suspect it will take more than that to cheer things up after Rugby Park. But, you know, but what difference did it make? Did it change anyone's opinion on anything?
I think it was a real boost, obviously, to the team's morale. I mean, they must have been so down last week, because that was a great opportunity to close the gap on Celtic and Aberdeen at the top of the table. They didn't take it yet again, and that seems to have been the story of Rangers in the last couple of years. An opportunity they've risen, they haven't taken that. But, I thought it was a good performance. They looked dangerous, looked like they were going to score a lot of goals, and that will certainly lift their confidence. But they've got a big week, as we know. After tomorrow, we've got Aberdeen in midweek, we've got a cup semi, and then they're back into the European ties as well. So a big few weeks coming up for the Rangers team. There was a few bonuses, Agumani getting a really good goal. Cherny looked back to the player we thought Rangers were getting with a couple of good goals. But It was a good performance, and I don't buy into, I think somebody said at the top of the show, all the stuff about Bucharest and being so poor. It's the Europa League. You don't get really poor teams in this league. Yeah, they might not be playing particularly well, but they've certainly got a calibre there of player that's got them this far. So excellent victory for Rangers. They've now got to push on and string together a run of victories starting tomorrow and then starting in midweek as well against Aberdeen. That's going to be a fantastic game.
Yeah, looking forward to that already for sure. Of course, a lot to come before then. Did Rangers do anything the other night, Gordon, that they can build on, they can take forward? We've been here a few times. We'll mention it because it's relevant. We won't dwell on it because Rangers did their job, and credit to them. I don't want it to seem like you're taking anything away. FCSB did not put up that much of a challenge. I think that's clear. But like we said, look, credit to Rangers. Was there anything that you think is a sign going forward? I don't know. Is it time Igamani starts? Is Raskin and Barron the midfield too to look to? What impressed you?
I think that's correct in what you say about the midfield too. I thought they set the tempo. I thought Rangers got at them very, very quickly. You know, they pressed them, put them into making mistakes, and then capitalised on them. Tierney probably had his best game in the Rangers strip. Tom Lawrence is starting to find the back of net. Unfortunately, he had to go off with an injury as well. I think it was a performance that Clermont needed. And you can harp on about the opposition, but they had to go out there. And we kept saying they've not dominated games. We've not seen them the style of football. I seen a different Rangers on Thursday. I'm not getting carried away, let me say that. First and foremost, they've still got two very important games coming up, two difficult games. But I just seen glimpses there of the, you know, the closing down, the pressure. I thought two midfield players were absolutely brilliant. They could have scored a few more. They got away with one early, which could have maybe flipped it, you know, on its head a little bit and put them right under pressure. Now, I see a lot of people saying, well, it was a foul. I think they've got away with one there. I don't think it is a foul. I think it's a goal. But the referee decided to bail them out. But after that, I thought Rangers were very, very good, Gordon. And the minute the first couple of goals go in, you see the confidence coming. You hear the crowd coming with them as well. And that's what they need. But they now need to kick on against St Mirren, and which is going to be a real difficult game at Pittodrie on Wednesday.
I think actually more than was it a foul or was it not, the referee blowing his whistle first is a disaster. That is against all the sort of protocol, and you know he apologised for it. So let's touch wood, hopefully we don't get any like that, because like I said, whether you think it's a foul or not, that's the bit that you really can't get away with, because there's no difference of opinion there.
My only takeaway, where still out of Bucharest are concerned, is that yes, they were deliberately weakened. That's their problem. They chose to do it that way. If Rangers had struggled against a deliberately weakened Steaua Bucharest, then that would have been a major concern. But they didn't, and scored four good goals. And now comes a defining three-game period for Philippe Clement. St Mirren tomorrow, Pittodrie Wednesday, and a cup semi-final against Motherwell at Hampden. It is a defining period for Clermont, because after Kilmarnock, stocks and shares, they rise, they fall, and his fell dramatically through the floor. So over these three games, he has to deliver results that alter his reputation in a positive way. Tomorrow, St Mirren have lost three in the bounce. There's no excuse if Rangers don't beat them. Pittodrie, we all know the backstory. Aberdeen could be top of the league tonight on their own if they draw with or beat Dundee United at Pittodrie. Big day, big night for Philippe Clement, and the semi-final speaks for itself. So we now hit a three-game defining period for the manager.
I suppose, Fraser, if you accept that one game isn't going to change everything, then all you can do is hope that that one game, though, is a springboard for certain things. And I'm wondering, someone like Vaclav Černý, very up and down so far, lots of stick from the fans, you know, but goes and scores two good goals. Yes, some people say maybe more suited to European football than domestic, but that would obviously be the hope, that that's then a kickstart for guys like him.
Yeah, well, he came in, Černý, and he looked apart. You know, he was playing 45 minutes, he wasn't match fit, but he was coming on, he looked apart, and Rangers looked apart at the start of the season, but then all of a sudden things just dipped. And Černý himself got a bit of stick, and he wasn't playing as well. But that was a good performance, and It's about consistency. I was talking about that at this game, Ross County and Kilmarnock. You need it when you're playing for the Old Firm, because you're expected to win every week, certainly domestically, and most of your games in Europe as well. So yes, great result, great performance by some of the players, some good goals, but I think Hugh's absolutely spot on. We're in for a, what he calls, a defining period, not only these three games, but then they've got European ties as well coming up that they should be looking to win, you know, to get to the latter stage of Europe as well and bring in some much needed income. But there's no point in doing it 1 week and then letting it all go the next week. And I think Philip Clément knows that he can't afford to have more results like he did last week at Kilmarnock. And as much as the result, because Rangers have lost under other managers before, Celtic lost it under Brendan Rodgers, it was a performance last week as well. So they've got to show a bit more consistency. And if they do that over the next four or five games, then all of a sudden things can turn around for the whole season.
And a word for the Jambos before we end the European discussion. Gordon, if you're looking to score two high quality goals in front of a big crowd on a European night, they certainly did that, didn't they?
Yeah, what a statement of new manager bounce. He got off to the best possible start against St Mirren, and then he follows it up on Thursday night, and you quite correctly say the two goals, Forrest and the mother, Spittle. Yeah, it went right out of my head. Two absolute sensational goals from them. They could have scored more. They're playing with a lot of confidence, and they get into a massive game tomorrow. Odds on favourites, you've got to say.
Okay, that is us for the European discussion for now. We'll get back to it, I'm sure, when we start previewing tomorrow's games. It's all linked into one, really. But for now, let's focus on Saturday afternoon. We don't have as big a 3 o'clock card as we would sometimes like, but still plenty to get our teeth into. And we will go back around the grounds after these. Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are in the studio. The top team, I usually say, all around the grounds, but it's only a couple of them this afternoon because we've got a later game. We've got three huge games tomorrow, so we're spread across the weekend ever so slightly. Two games in the Premiership. In terms of Dundee against St Johnstone, David Friel, is it too early to properly assess who we think is going to struggle this season? Because everyone has their, you know, the pre-season predictions, but if Hibs and Hearts are the bottom two, I don't detect many people thinking they'll still be there. You're watching St Johnstone, who'd maybe be some people's bet, but again, if, you know, if last week's anything to go by and Simo Vallecari can turn them round, has the bottom of the table settled yet?
No, not at all, Gordon. I mean, if you actually look at the table, St Johnstone win today, and St Johnstone had a bad start to the season given the fact they've actually had to sack a manager, but St Johnstone will go above Dundee today with a win. So no, I don't think it's settled at all. Look, I still expect Ross County, St Johnstone to be down there. I think everybody else should probably be okay, but look, it's such an open league, any team can beat each other around that area. And if, as we all expect, Hearts and Hibs do start to pick up points, and it's going to get really, really congested. And no, I think it's a huge game for both clubs today for various reasons. You know, I think St Johnstone under Simo Vallecari want to continue that progress they showed last week, but I think Dundee need a home win. You know, need to back up the hype around them. You know, I think Tony, as I said earlier, Tony Docherty got so much praise last year, and his team got so much praise, and it was deserved. But I think they've struggled a bit this season. You know, after the highs at the start of the season, I think losing Luke McCown to Celtic, it was a huge blow. He was our captain, our talisman. I don't think they've ever really fully recovered from that. You know, last week was a step forward, but I think they need to go and back it up today, because if St Johnstone win today and leapfrog them, then I can imagine what the Dens Park crowd will be like at the end of this game.
You're always looking though for who, probably both ends of the pitch, who's got a goalkeeper they can trust and who is blessed with some attacking options. St Johnstone may be caught in the middle of it. They've had goalkeeping issues, but I think most teams who predict, who are predicted to be in a relegation fight, they'd take St Johnstone's front two, wouldn't they?
Yeah, 100%. They'd maybe even take the front three. And don't forget as well, everybody probably doesn't remember signing for Johnstone in the summer, Uche Ekpeatsu has still to come back. I don't think he's kicked a ball. He's been injured since Craig Levein signed in the summer, so he's going to add a physical presence as well. I mean, St Johnstone have scored 11 goals in their 9 games. It's only one behind Rangers. I know they've played a game extra, but Rangers have only got 12 in their 8 games. So yeah, scoring goals won't be a problem for St Johnstone. To me, the worry would be at the back. And Dundee have got a lot better balance. You know, Trevor Carson's in goals today. He was out of the team for a long time. He captains the team. They've actually got two goalkeepers on the bench, including John McCracken, who was in the last Scotland squad, and Harry Sharp. So, look, I think St Johnstone have clearly got certain issues, but I would imagine they'll score today. I'd also imagine Dundee will score today. So, as I said earlier, I think this will be a high-scoring match.
No, we're looking forward to that, as well as Ross County Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock's approach to this season has been interesting, Fraser, because they did so well last season, and with that, they opted for continuity, very little changing, not a, you know, wholesale changes in the summer. The one that Derek McInnes left late because he really wanted to do it, and even though he was unfit when he re-signed his, you know, Corey and Daba, and I wonder if him now coming in and settling, finding his feet again, Mayo, Dees, Finlay, it's a really strong back four that they're built on, and obviously we saw that against Rangers, didn't we?
Yeah, and that was a success they had last year. I think Lewis Mayo is a really underrated footballer. I'm really surprised he's not even sneaked into the Scotland squad in the last couple of international breaks, because I think he can play a couple of positions, but he's good at right back as well. You know, he can, I think, probably first play centre half. So they've got that strong look about them, and you're right, you look at this team, this could probably have been the team that played 12 months ago in this corresponding fixture, so there's not been a huge amount of change. But they did get off to that sticky start, and sometimes you do wonder, the early start in Europe as well, and not having a massive squad to chop and change. Big clubs can afford to make four and five changes between games. They didn't have a good start to the season, and if you think the last couple of results, they came back in the last 5-6 minutes, three goals against Dundee to win that game, and then they won against Rangers, you know, and they've still only got 9 points, so that just shows in the first six games how poor the start they were. But on the field of play, they just on the team selection as well, you look at them, I think they've got a good team, and it just looks like a good, strong Derek McInnes team. It's settled, they all know each other very well, and they know each other's roles, and I do think they'll win this one by the odd goal, although I don't think there's many goals. Last year there was a 0-0 draw and a 1-0 win for either team, so I don't know if I'm going to be blessed like David Friel with plenty of goals, but I think it'll be an interesting game ahead.
Let's hear from Derek McInnes ahead of that one. So, looking forward to those two Premiership ties. We said there are a few contenders, and we said geographically we would always keep an eye on the likes of Queen's Park against Partick Thistle, Aki's Morton, bang smack on our patch as well. But Falkirk, Dunfermline, Lana Mackay is there. Lana's just always just such a big occasion. I take it with 5 minutes to go, you're already witnessing a fairly large crowd in that one.
Yeah, Gordon, the stadium's really filling up now. It's a home sellout here at the Falkirk Stadium today, and the fans have been banging the drums, waving the flags. Healthy away support here as well. And of course, we know how big this rivalry is. Both sets of fans, it means so much to them. Dunfermline, as we said, they'll want revenge for that defeat at East End Park back in August, and they really need to start picking up points in this league, just 1 point off the bottom of the table. And Falkirk, on the other side, they want to win this league, and they will not want to slip up to their rivals and give Livy the chance to gain some ground. Manager John McGlynn says it would mean everything if he could earn back-to-back promotions with this Falkirk side. But Dunfermline, unbeaten in their last six visits here. It's Derby Day, anything can happen. You can hear the fans already. It means so much, and we should be in for a cracking game here at the Falkirk Stadium this afternoon.
Yeah, apart from the obvious geography, Fraser Wishart, I'm sure you're loving Dingwall, but I know that'd be a fixture right up your street, and it's always such a great occasion. I'm sure I saw 1,000 Dunfermline fans round about that, and we were just discussing off air there the, you know, the origins. Why is that a rivalry? There are a few suggestions. Some of them are myths, but whatever the truth is, it's a great occasion when they meet.
I really don't know. I mean, I played for Falkirk for a season as well many moons ago, and they just didn't like Dunfermline. I don't know what it was all about, but it always brings a wee bit of an edge to it. And I think Lana's in for a smashing occasion, because Falkirk play really refreshing attacking football, but it's James McPake that's got the issues and the problems, because it's been a poor start to the season for them. But of the 3 o'clock kickoffs today, I think that'll probably more there than there is at Dens Park and here in Dingwall. It just shows you, when you get a club that hits rock bottom as Falkirk did a couple of seasons ago, the revival, link in with the community. We talked about Inverness earlier being a community club. Falkirk, link in with the community, get that support, everything's going well for that football club, and I think Lana's in for a cracker, but I do think Falkirk will win that quite comfortably.
I can see suggestions that it started in ice hockey, believe it or not.
It's all about the Kincardine Bridge. The rights over the Kincardine Bridge.
People are busting that myth as well. That seems to be shot down.
What, the Kincardine Bridge?
No, the ice hockey thing.
All right.
Something to do with miners from Fife disrupting industrial action in Stirlingshire during the 80s. Yeah. I can see that also.
I've given you the answer.
But every theory we've got, though, has been shot down. What do you mean?
It was who built the bridge and who owned the rights to the bridge.
Falkirk FC built the bridge.
No, the councils. And then the football teams got involved, and they all wanted the Kincardine Bridge. Look
what
at your history.
They want the Kim Carlton match.
The rights to it, the deeds to it.
See, when you just spend your full life lying, he convinces himself.
Anyway, that does sound convincing.
The rights to the bridge.
To the Kincardine Bridge.
No,
Stirling shirt and five councils fought, and the football team's getting brawled in it.
Is Falkirk not a council in its own right now?
Well,
and now we're going off track. Anyway, let's leave it there. Because luckily for everyone who is worried about the direction Gordon Dalziel's lies are about to take, kickoffs in those 3 o'clock games is coming next. Who else would you rather spend a Saturday afternoon with than Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel? Don't actually answer that, but they are here and they're looking forward to the games this afternoon. The Scottish FA, the SPFL, they've all got together to make it really, really easy for you because they've heard how much you struggle.
Oh, yeah.
All we're asking you for, 3 featured games, get an ACCA out of 3 games. Seriously. Easy task today. Go Hugh Keevans.
Dundee St Johnson draw, Ross County Kilmarnock win for Derek McInnes on the road, Aberdeen Dundee United Jimmy Teelan.
I'll even let you leave that one off. That's the half five. Just the 3 games: Dundee St Johnson, County Kelly and Falkirk Dunfermline.
I have to believe that Falkirk, with a 17 point lead over Dunfermline, sitting top of the table, a fantastic story in the making. I have to believe they'll win, and win well against Dunfermline.
Up in Dens, I'll go with David Friel. Both teams to score, but Dundee to win that game. I'll go for Kilmarnock to beat Ross County and Falkirk to beat Dunfermline convincingly.
Convincingly?
Yeah.
Right, okay, I'll mix it up a little bit. Dundee beat St Johnson, Ross County Kilmarnock draw, and Falkirk Dunfermline draw.
What?
Yeah, may as well. The bridge.
That's you then. We're up and running on a Saturday afternoon. We love you to stay in touch though, at Clyde SSB, whatever it is. If it's thoughts on the games, thoughts on the big talking points, any random nonsense, we will take the lot. And I joked, right, who would you rather spend your Saturday afternoon with than Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel? But did you hear the big news this week? Forget Champions League, forget Europa League. Did you know, genuinely, this is not a Gordon Dalziel lie, this is a Gordon Duncan truth, that this show has experienced its highest ever listening figures?
This show just alone? Or
this show alone? Well, the full station did very well, but for this show, because that's all we care about, because we're selfish. Yeah. George who? This has been on the go for a long time, as Hugh Keevans will testify.
Yep.
Highest ever listening figures for Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
I think you guys should be allowed 30 seconds to thank me in your own words. And I think Hugh, you can start.
Well, I will start by ignoring you altogether and say that the number of people you meet, I have met MSPs. I was sitting beside a cage fighter on Thursday night, Chris Bungard, known as Bad Guy.
Bad Guy, I know Bad Guy.
Known as Bad Guy?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Oh. That's his
Are you about to ridicule a cage fighter?
I'd be careful if the Bad Guy's listening.
I was going to say.
Super scoreboard fanatic. But I sat down at one of my daughters had a party, and I sat beside an MSP who told me that he goes into his kitchen at 6 o'clock, Monday to Friday, and puts on Super Scoreboard, and nothing must deviate from that.
Were you looking in the mirror talking to yourself?
No.
Did you miss out a bottle of red?
Don't tell us what party. We can't be bothered splitting lines politically here. But yeah, there you go. Genuinely, well done to you all. I'm proud of you. Usually I don't mention it, because you know what, I just like to think, just relax about it. Whatever will be, will be.
See, to be fair,
well over 300,000 in a week.
See, to be fair, I think if you put it in percentages, right, I think we take 70% of the congratulations, and the guys and girls outside listening and putting their wee bit in at 2 o'clock.
You're giving them 30%.
No.
How did you ever survive in a team sport
environment? I wasn't.
Seriously.
I wasn't. Absolutely no.
I told you that when I'm up to the Highlands to visit 2 of my grandchildren, and they put on Super Scoreboard on a laptop for me, and one of them looked and said, pointing to the Dazzler, "That man doesn't look interested."
Anyway, it was just a small thank you to you all, because obviously it is much appreciated. Never taken for granted, by the way. I want to stress that for you. So let's crack on. Enough patting Gordon Dalziel on the back. Let's crack on with the football. The update you've all really been waiting for, I know you'll be super interested, is that Simo has gone for tracky trainers and gilet combo.
Oh, tracky trainers.
Would you be expecting him to be something a bit
I thought he'd be a bit different.
Black leather boots, jeans.
Aye, jeans or something like that.
Aye, quite mild out there though.
Aye, nah, expecting most of him.
Not happy with that.
He's a tracksuit manager.
I'll tell you what, at the start of the season though, before Simo got there, you'd have tipped St Johnson to be a certainty, either relegation playoff or automatically down. I don't feel that way now. I know David Friel thinks he'll still be 11th or 12th, but I'm not sure.
Who do you think will be down there then, Hugh?
Well, Ross County.
Yeah.
And we'll need to see how the rest shake out.
But back to dress sense, what would you be if you were back in the coaching environment? Would you be a suit again? Again?
Baggy suit.
I would be a nice tight suit, you know, show off the physique, obviously, that I'm carrying about just now. And I would have nice pointed shoes.
Of course, they're all the rage at the minute.
I'd have nice pointed black. You
often see them on a football touchline.
I would have a black blazer, grey flannels, and one of Sir Walter's old cardigans.
I'd love to see you on the touchline prowling. Anyway, we'll get back to that, since it's really, really pressing stuff. Erling Haaland shock has put Man City one up. Let's do this, Hugh, just to get maximum time on it.
I like this one. Bit quirky. The last time Aberdeen won the league, which was 1985, six players from that squad went on to play for or manage either Rangers or Celtic. Can you name them? Aberdeen last won the league 39 years ago, 1985. Six players from that squad went on to play for or manage either Rangers or Celtic. Who are they?
Who are they? That's at Clyde easy. SSB. The race is on. We need one tweet with all of the correct names, and you need to beat everyone else. Speed is the name of the game here. Accuracy as well, of course. But at Clyde SSB, get them in. We'll start the race now and see who comes out on top. It should be up your street, Gordon Dalziel. Very much your era.
You played against them all.
Right, hold on. 19 what?
85.
And they played with Rangers or Celtic or Manish. Right, okay.
You should get six like that.
Oh, yeah.
I was one year old, I was, when that happened.
Oof. Right, I played against them all. So, say no more.
Okay.
At Clyde SSB, then, the race is on.
Bad dog.
Do you know what's just weird? Is
bad boy.
Bad dog.
At the very moment that you mentioned being at the boxing the other night and sitting beside the cage fighter, he tweeted a picture of the two of you.
Good for you.
You could become an unlikely tag team duo.
You know what that looks? Anybody seen the film Snatch? It looks like something out of Snatch, that Hugh, you're the boss, and there you've got your handyman next to you to do all your business. Bricktop.
Well, that's it. I'm taking Chris everywhere I go now.
Got it.
Right, we can get back to the teaser. We can get back to it if you don't mind. Let's see what's happening in the early stages of the games so far. Kilmarnock have started well. Danny Armstrong with a number of dangerous crosses, defended well by Ross County. In the other game, Dundee putting a bit of pressure in from long throw-ins, but St Johnstone defending it well. Heavy rain up in Dingwall, so the pitch will be nice and slick for Fraser Wishart. There was a slight delay to proceedings at David Friel's game in Dundee. Streamers on the pitch. So there we go, we're up and running now anyway, and no goals to tell you about. I don't think we've got any in Scotland at all, actually. No, we don't. We'll keep an eye. I'm not going to read them all, but the Scottish Cup second round today, we'll keep an eye just on maybe some local teams or some interesting stories or some big storylines developing. Hugh Keevans, we know you always keep an eye on the Bankies.
Yep.
Up in Keith.
Yeah, left. You told me last night that they had made their way up there last night. So, big day out for the paper hankies. Good luck to them.
Keith is, that's Colin Hendry country, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
East Kilbride. against Bonnie Rose. Interesting again, because you always like to keep an eye on the teams trying to make their way into the pyramid, and East Kilbride, a lot of eyes on them this season.
And if home advantage, they'll be looking to win that for sure, to show that there's not that big a gap between there and League 2. Yeah, some really interesting ones all around the place, really.
What if Keith scored the first goal? That's where you two are going for your night out then.
That's a good point. Yeah,
well done.
But we need to pick the date that you actually commit
actually
to this.
Actually go. Well,
because bearing in mind, do they not? I think the real version of this, I think, would be anywhere in Britain.
That's fine. But if we've got a taxi driver out there who's listening, who could come along the journey, you can join us for the evening as well. That'd be a good.
Reminds me of the
a good deal.
Reminds me of the unnamed former teammate of yours who once got a taxi home from London from a Christmas night out. Well, seeing you were at Celtic and had too much money to throw around,
he couldn't wait the extra half hour for the flight, so he decided to take the black cab all the way from Marble Arch to his abode in Glasgow.
You didn't get that at the Wraith Rovers Christmas night he's out, did you?
No, we
two
never.
Two nights in London with people getting taxis up the road.
No, we were Kirkcaldy.
He woke up curled up freezing in the back of the black cab just coming into Glasgow. What a sleep he must have had.
Anyway, we'll leave it there. Still no goals anywhere in Scotland. They're keeping us waiting this afternoon, but hopefully it'll be worth the wait. And I'll, like I said, I'll mention anything that we think jumps out from that Scottish Cup. If you're really desperate, since we are waiting on goals, Stirling Albion are beating Bowness. What else have we got in there coming in? Not a lot, actually. Not a lot. Irvine Meadow beating Servo Service Strollers. That's everything that you were looking for.
Yeah.
Here's a big update from David Field. Forget the goals. Something that was all the rage. It was in the headlines and it went away quite quickly. The Dens Park pitch is magnificent, he says.
Yeah.
It's come a long way from last season. Remember all the drama we had? And
well,
Rangers gone up there a couple of times.
And then when they eventually get there, it follows on from Dingwall. And that sequence of games did for Rangers, because Celtic didn't falter and Rangers did.
That's right. It was one of those that gets lumped in with Dingwall, doesn't it? As the two that really were costly.
Have we had any real bad weather to test it? I know they've invested in it, but you want to see the real test when you get a week worth of rain. So you could say, look, that investment was worth it, or we need to ask for our money back.
I was trying to just quickly figure out the latest update I had there from St Johnston, and it was that Sidibe had clattered Nicky Clark.
And I'm thinking, that worked?
Pretty sure they're on the same team, but indeed they both went for the same throw-in. Looked a bit of a sore one, but they are okay to continue. That's not what you look for if you're a new manager. You're two of your attacking options wiping each other out, but we're all good, I think, and fine to continue.
Think if you're a new manager like Valicari, if you've got two front men, like we've been chatting about Sidibe Kempioka, and you've got Nicky Clark as well, then halves the problems for you, because you know you always carry a threat. And by the way, St Johnstone teams of the past, I don't think they've had that, and I don't think Craig Levein really played to their strengths. I know he's got to take credit for bringing them to the club. Didn't he really play a system or a way that could get the best out of those? I don't think. And I wonder if Valicari has that in his locker, because they're good players with good pace and they're direct. It certainly helps you out along the way if you've got that up top.
Yeah, still nothing anywhere in Scotland. Can you believe it? What is the latest we've waited on a Saturday afternoon?
For our day out.
No goal though, anywhere in the divisions.
How long have we been going here?
15 minutes nearly.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
I'm surprised.
We need some entertainment.
I'm very surprised. Come on, keep the troops entertained on a Saturday afternoon, because the longer it waits, Gordon Dale will tell us more lies.
No, that is the issue. I'm going to tell you a wee truthful one. Have we told Mark, obviously, he was missing last week, about my present?
Oh, have you seen it?
You missed this?
He got his new Motherwell top.
Oh, did you really?
By the club, the real deal one, you know, with the William Hill badges on it and all that sort of stuff.
Beautiful, mate.
Triple XL.
No, it's not. Don't even lie there.
It looked really tight
like
when you tried to.
Well, hold on. I had a hoodie and everything on when I tried on.
That was light knitwear you had on.
All I seen was M. I don't know what M stands for in clothes, right? And I put it over.
Massive.
Oh, you're going to Dumbarton.
You're just along the road.
Oh, no.
I'm well liked in Dumbarton.
Really tough times for Inverness. Cally Thistle off the pitch, and they're trailing as well.
That's near Dumbarton, isn't it?
Well, I can't. Technically, it's only about 5 miles away. But
Hold on, is it Dumbartonshire?
No, this the town of Dumbarton.
Anyway, you're going to Dumbarton. Dumbarton won Inverness 0. James Hilton with the goal there. Yeah, so they sent the strip in. He tried it on. It was very tight.
Can you,
on the back.
Don't tell him.
It shows you. I've always thought, if you share this
guess
with me,
guess
do, you
number.
Think, do you think he lies about his age?
Oh.
Did you not think he was 62?
It was.
Well, they've added 7 onto that on the back of his strip. Can you believe that?
I thought he was
62. I couldn't believe it the other day. We eventually exposed him for his lies.
Mother.
Right on cue, though, to save us getting in bother. It is Dundee 1, St Johnstone 0, and it is Simon Murray with the goal. A defensive mix-up, so Simo Vallecari won't like that. He nips in between the keeper and defender. He lobs it over them, then heads his own lob over the line. A really, really poor goal to concede from St Johnstone. Fair play, Simon Murray. He is, in the nicest sense of the word, a pest when he's in those situations, and he has put them 1-0 in front. And now the goals are flowing. Queen's Park 0, Partick Thistle 1. Mark, your employer,
Logan Chalmers.
Chalmers. Oh, and Stenhouse Muir as well 1, Kelty 0. But let's nearly 2-0 to Dundee Larkesh with the shot saved. That's exactly what Tony Dock was looking for, Hugh.
Well, you know, Simon Murray has been an inspired signing by Dundee. He's a smashing guy. You know, the scores goals wherever he has been. And he's so enthusiastic for Dundee, boyhood club, all of that stuff. So he's a real thorn in the side. And I think we expected goals at that game that they've started off scoring belatedly. But I think David Friel, that's the first goal, but it's not the last one he'll see.
I think, and that's a problem with St Johnstone, that they've got players at the top end of the pitch that will score you goals. But defensively and their goalkeeper, are they the strongest in the league? No.
You're not a great fan of the goalkeeper, are you?
No, look, but
just say yes or no.
Well, he makes mistakes, doesn't he? And it's been proven in recent games that he's made mistakes. And Gordon touches on it all the time. Those teams that finish near the bottom of the league have always had issues with their goalkeeper.
He's correct.
And the sooner you sort that out, then you've got a chance.
The man is correct.
The proof is in the pudding, because they've lost the most goals so far in the league. So it shows you that they can score goals, because everybody talks about their front two, and I think Nicky Clark will add to that. But you've got to keep it defensively tight at the back.
Well,
they're not doing that.
McCracken was in the last Scotland squad. He's on the bench now for Dundee. So Tony Docherty found a goalkeeping problem and just decided, I don't care whether he's in the international squad or not, he's out.
I think the difference is, though, I think between them, I mean, Trevor Carson's good. Trevor Carson's a really good keeper, and John McCracken clearly has something there and maybe dipped a bit. But the issue's for, if you know, if you're Simo Vallecari, you know there's really not much you can do until January.
But Tony Dock obviously realised,
by the way, his
how
defense,
important.
Let's be fair, the defence has not helped the goalkeeper either.
Of course not. But going back to Tony Dock, he understands the importance of that position, as do many of the top managers, and they address it by a solid number one and a number two that can push. St Johnstone don't look like they have that just now, and Vallecari will have to address it in January, no
doubt.
But
I think they've had issues, because Jack Sanders has been involved in a few defensive mix-ups as well. He was the defender at the heart of it. It came from actually Trevor Carson's long ball. But it's an 8th goal of the season for Simon Murray, a 3rd in the league. He always does great, puts up great numbers, as they say, in the League Cup group stages. But he's got 3 in the league, taking him to 8 in all competitions for the season. So having the type of impact Dundee hoped they would. Look, that's why they put a significant effort into getting him, Gordon.
Yeah, Simon Murray's one of those guys, I think, for a manager, when you bring in a striker, you're looking at how many goals is he going to get, important goals for us. That's what he's there for, that's his job. I think Simon Murray's completely different. I think he brings so much different to a team by his work rate, the way he presses, the way he works for a team. He'll chase lost causes. And then if you can add a couple of goals into it, you've got a terrific signing. And I think Simon Murray is a manager's dream. I really do.
He's infectious, I think, for the other players as well. See, you're playing behind him, you see him, you know, running about.
He's one of these guys that if he goes 9-10 games with as a striker without scoring a goal, as a manager you still play him because you know what he's bringing to the other guys.
Angriest goal scorer of all time though, isn't he?
He doesn't smile much, does he?
When he scores, he just goes for like the rage celebration. I like that. Not quite full Kits Bayer on the advertising boards, but nevertheless.
Maybe that's just maybe we're just getting picked up wrong. He's not a prize boy I've ever seen, but maybe we're just picking up wrong.
That, Brad Pitt over there.
Maybe it's just a smile that goes wrong.
What do you mean by that? Give us more detail. Why isn't on the prize?
No, but I think we may just pick up his body language differently. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, Simo Vallecari not happy with what he's witnessing so far. I'm sure. Did you know? And I bet you don't, because you don't remember these things, because your famous Scottish Cup victory for Ayr against Motherwell, remember it?
4-3 for Park.
Gary Teal double, Neil Tarrant double.
Oh, did he score a double that day, did he?
Simo Vallecari.
Was he playing?
Played the full game for Motherwell.
Did he?
That day.
Oh, we honestly, a tactical genius. I was the manager.
It's
all down to the manager. Away from home, Premier League team, Motherwell big favourites. I just went all out attack.
3-3 at half time.
Bang.
That's what the fans want to see. Oh, yeah. Entertaining football.
That's what it was with me. That's why I wore a suit. I commanded that attacking football style.
But yeah, Simo Vallecari was in that Motherwell team. There you
tell
go.
You what, Motherwell, some team.
You're right. You're very right. Andy Gorham in goal.
Yeah, name them.
Stephen McMillan, very good, went to Wigan.
Yes.
Maybe a bit lesser known than some. Lee McCulloch.
Uh huh.
Simo Vallecari.
Yeah.
Don Goodman.
Yes. Big Don. John Spencer.
And the two big we're getting niche football knowledge here, Scottish football knowledge. Who are the two big lanky wingers?
Kevin Twaddle.
Yes. You remember the other one? I'll be
I tried to sign him.
Amazed if you get the other one, because he's even lesser known.
Gives a wee nussles.
Kevin Twaddle played for Hearts and stuff.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Gives a wee nussles.
DT.
DT.
Mm-hmm.
David Motherwell, Derrick.
Motherwell fans everywhere screaming at the radio.
David Derrick. Derrick.
Played for Hibs as well.
Derrick T.
Townsend.
Townsley.
That's right. I played against both of them, I think.
A blast from the past.
I was some game, mate. That was the best game I've ever managed. And to really rub salt in the wound, my best mate was in another dugout. Oh,
that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
You're celebrating with a big baggy suit on.
There's your dinner.
Well, there we go. Another. It's a good moment for one of your other former teams. Livy nil, Raith 1. That would be a shock result a long way to go, don't get me wrong. But Jack Hamilton has scored for Raith at Livy, because Livy have been going really well, haven't they?
Yeah, they certainly have been. Second in the table, 19 points, 5 wins this season. But yeah, that would be a surprise. Raith languishing down there on 8th at the minute. So
former Livingston striker, of course, Jack Hamilton, scoring against his former team.
Everybody seems to have played for Livy at one point. Seen that division when you look at it?
Signed a lot of players, haven't they? To be fair to David, he brings in, he gets a good squad, and then at the end of the season he'll leave, and then he has to start again. It must be one of the most difficult jobs in Scottish football for him.
But at least he took it on. You know, when they went down, you might have thought, well, maybe he draws a line under that experience now, but no, he's not bringing them back up.
He probably got that Sunday morning, had a look in the mirror and thought, right, okay, we need to have a chat where we're going here. Are we going forward together, or are you going to part ways? Okay, I'm still the manager, and I think we move on.
Are you sacking me or not?
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Good. See you at training in the morning. Dundee looking very comfortable against Simo Vallecari's St Johnston. They may work back up to the stand next week. Andy Kirk back in.
Ah, yeah, I forgot about that.
And Fraser Wishart's gone all the way to Dingwall. 0 shots on goal, 0 shots on target, absolutely nothing so far.
He's got to have made a weekend of that. Fraser
good
usually
lady
does
up
it.
There. He must have the good lady
next
up there.
Next week, Airbnb hotel. Yeah. Or something we like bought, that.
Yeah, I think so.
We bought the red, a nice meal tonight. He's got to
with a tweed jacket on for dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
Down the morning with a flip flop for on breakfast.
Remind us of your teaser, please, Hugh.
Yeah, so they say it's a quirky one, but the last time Aberdeen won the league was in 1985. 6 players from that squad went on to play for or manage either Rangers or Celtic.
Ok.
Can you name them?
FM G65 has dived in on a couple of really well known ones that actually are not in this list, which I'm very surprised at. Gordon Strachan.
How? Because he managed Celtic and he played in the 1985.
Yeah.
So how is he not in the list?
Well, that sounds...
That's who I've got.
Brilliant. Great. You found a really obvious hole in the...
The last time Aberdeen won the league in 1985, seven players...
No. Anyway, we'll get back. Oh, hold on. I've got another goal to tell you about. The bridge is under Falkirk rule. Currently, it's Falkirk 1, Dunfermline 0, and it is Ethan Ross with the goal. John McGlynn's side striking first. Form would have dictated that mark for sure.
Yeah, not a surprise there. And he's on fire this season. Well, it's been down as a Chris Hamilton own goal, but Ethan Ross must have played a part in that. But I watched him, and I watched Falkirk a couple of weeks ago when they played Thistle. Movement brilliant. They always look to play forward. They're wingers, and Ross is one of them. Very, very good, very direct. They'll take a lot of beating this year, just with the structure and how they play, and their individuals all at the top of their game at the minute.
I just think it would be a sensational story. Utterly sensational. You know, at the moment, as things stand, Falkirk would go on to 26 points, and Livingston, who are losing, stay on 19. You know, it's a bit of a gap building up if things remain as they are.
See, for all you smart Alex in here, Gordon Strachan left the season before.
Yeah, season before what?
Before they won that last title. That 85 title.
He left
at Man United. Yep, I thought that.
Because I played against him in the Scottish Cup final 84.
So there you go. So incorrect answer. Another one, Hugh.
Yeah.
His pal, Mark McGee.
Not there. Dingus
played. He played as well.
Not on the list. So keep your guesses coming for Hugh's teaser at Clyde SSB. It's a popular one. This, a lot of people giving it a go. Lots falling for that Mark McGee, Gordon Strachanism.
There's a real difficult one in there that I've got, and a lot of people won't get it.
Right, okay.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay, which one? Show me.
Which one of them would you consider really difficult?
Him there.
Really?
Him there.
He's not on it. He's wrong.
That's
sorry.
How difficult it is. He's not even there. He played after 85, didn't he?
He's not on the list. That's all you need to know. For now, okay.
Set myself up there now.
You did. Right, anyway, at Clyde SSB on the teaser, telling you about the goals going in. The only one in the Premiership so far is that one for Simon Murray against St Johnstone Dundee 1, St Johnstone 0, goalless County Killy. A couple of goals in the Championship: Falkirk 1, Dunfermline 0, Livy 0, Raith 1, Queen's Park 0, Partick Thistle 1, Glasgow Derby there. And we had your colleague Brian Graham.
Was he in the other night?
He was in on Tuesday night.
Because he nearly swore, didn't he, Gordon?
Oh, he really nearly swore.
Yeah, he was so close.
The closest ever a pundit's come. Because it all centred around this fixture. He takes his beat the pundit quite seriously. He was 3 wins from 3 going into this one, and he lost by 1. And the question was this: which Scottish Championship stadium has the biggest capacity?
For Hull?
No.
Hamden.
Hamden.
Uh-huh. I was going to ask if that game today. Is it Hamden?
No, is it Hamden today? So he said Dunfermline. I then explained, and obviously the killer is he's at Hamden. He's playing today. He knew that's where the fixture was. And he thought it was some sort of trick question, moaning away, and he very nearly dropped an F-bomb, if you ask me.
Doesn't it sound like him?
He's a frequent user of that. Anyway, the impact the show has is just quite remarkable. He spent last Friday night in the company of Hugh Keevans. He goes and scores a double on Saturday.
That's right.
Took him up to 100 SPFL goals.
Really?
Took him into the 100 Brilliant. Club. And Thistle need to just go on a bit of a run, don't they, Mark? It's still very tight, the league, but they're doing the business so far against Queen's Park.
Well, it was a big one last week, and Brian pops up with the 2 goals. That breeds confidence again. This is always going to be a difficult one at Hampden against Queen's Park, who are doing not too bad this season, but it's a good start. Ogan Chalmers scoring. He's one I think everyone had high hopes of, and he's been a bit stop start, few injuries and niggles and other things have maybe kept him out of the team. But I'm glad that the boy gets his chance today and he's put them ahead. But again, long way to go in that game. A good start for Thistle.
How good a week is John McGinn having?
Incredible.
Scores in the Champions League. Now he's put Aston Villa 1 up against Bournemouth. And my wee travelling companions on the train will be happy because Cali Thistle have equalised.
Yeah, we were talking about this in the office here. I think, oh, no, John McGinn, goal ruled out.
Oh, forget it.
I was about to go
now
on a big spiel about John McGinn there. I'll save it for later. Nearly opening the scoring for Villa against Bournemouth, but he did score in the Champions League. And I do wonder, I'll say it anyway, we were talking about it in the office, Hugh. Have we started taking John McGinn's story for granted a little bit? I feel like we, you know, you now just accept it as a guy who, you know, got signed from Hibs, having played in Scotland's Championship for a couple of seasons there, to Villa when they were in the Championship. Then becomes captain, stays in the team all that time. He's the captain of a Villa team that has won all their games in the Champions League this season, and goes and scores in the Champions League. Sometimes think we don't pause for positivity long enough.
When Unai Emery goes into the club as manager, you think, I wonder how he will take to John McGinn's style. But he clearly, like everyone else, thrives on John McGinn. He just thinks this guy is the business for Aston Villa, and that is the way it is. I mean, to be Aston Villa, to be top of that Champions League table, wonderful. His goal's been ruled out, but he'll be back.
He's been a terrific player for Villa. Was it Steven Gerrard that gave him the captaincy? Did he change it? But I think a guy like that then recognises, one, what a good player John McGinn is, and what a good, you know, role model he is for other players around the club. So that's partly the reason he's likeable, very likeable as well. The players all get on with him, and it leads by example in games. You know, you can see the effort, never mind the quality he's got technically. You can see the effort he puts into the team. All those things add up to merit in the captaincy, but you've got to take it to the next level when you come up against better opposition. He's certainly done that in the Champions League.
I remember watching him when he started off at St Mirren, and he was a winger at the time, played wide left, and you could see some talent, some left foot. Whoever decided to bring him in the middle of the park is a genius, because he's been absolutely brilliant in there.
Anyway, his goal was ruled out, so you can save that for another day. At Clyde SSB, if you want to tweet us any general thoughts that are on your mind at the moment, try and keep them loosely related to football, and of course your answers as well to that first half teaser. Gordon DL's doing quite well.
No, we've got it.
Lots of you out there giving it a go. I did say Blue Wheels is another. The Gordon Strachan Mark McGee is catching lots of people out, Hugh. Definitely not on your list.
No, neither.
Okay.
I wouldn't have got them, to be honest.
I played against every single one of them, and I terrorised them. There's a clue.
We did say we were keeping an eye on the Scottish Cup just to see if anything jumps out from the second round. You've got the potential for slight shocks where, you know, non-league teams meet teams from the SPFL. The one we did highlight, East Kilbride are 1-0 up on Bonnie Rigg Rose.
They're away from home.
No, it's at Kay Park. So that would be one of the more interesting score lines coming in so far. How are the Bankies doing, Hugh? They are still goalless up in Keith with half an hour on the clock.
What's the story? If it's goalless after 90 minutes,
does that go to replay?
Yeah. Is it a replay?
Yeah, because it starts at 3 o'clock. It's got to be dark.
Straight to penalties. That's what we want to see.
Is it? It'll be dark, obviously.
The floodlights.
Is Keith now got floodlights?
Hold on. Are you telling me every one of the games at home have got floodlights? And they're all 3 o'clock kickoffs?
I'd reckon probably.
No.
Who's not got floodlights?
I'll tell you right now who's not got floodlights, right, as I get through them. Auchinleck Talbot.
They've not got floodlights?
Nope.
That's a guess.
It's incredible.
Do you want another one?
Give me it.
Right, okay. Inverurie local.
I've passed their pitch. No. They've got floodlights.
A couple of half chances at last for Fraser Wishart. Watkins, Armstrong with the cross, maybe just a yard or so wide. At the other end, Noah Chilvers with the curling shot pushed away by McCrory. So both sides there, not much doing. And we always see the old cliche about the first goal in the Scottish Premiership. It's generally pretty important. Although we've had some dramatic comebacks this season, haven't we? What about Dundee United and Hibs last weekend?
Yeah. Oh. Well, you know, no wonder Jim Goodwin went off his head and then ended up not on his head but on another part of his anatomy. That's the Hibs story. You know, Hibs did didn't go into the Scottish football vocabulary for no good reason. They hibsed it in a big way. They were 2-1 up and the best team, but could not hold on to it. And Hugh, that's why they're under pressure tomorrow.
Hugh, you like to forecast managers getting the sack, right? And I'm not here to say that, but tomorrow must be massive for David Gray's.
Yeah. You can't go on like that. You know, you just can't. And also, you remember the man, Bill Foley, who put £6 million into the club? He went public and said he didn't want him to be the manager in the first place. So you've got that kind of negative factor working against you as well.
And you're sitting bottom of the league.
Yeah.
Which is not acceptable to the Hibs fans, who will turn out in great numbers tomorrow against a, you'd probably say, an in-form Hearts team the last two games.
I think what doesn't help him as well is that Hearts sacking Stephen Naismith, getting in the manager, such a positive effect within 10 days. And I think owners look at that sort of stuff and go,
maybe we'll try that.
Fraser Wishart sending me lots of proof, not that we needed it, that
he's no staying.
Of course, Auchinleck have floodlights. Just
I tell him just to tell a penguin to butt out.
Hill of Beath Hawthorne, have they got floodlights?
They all will.
I've been to Hill of Beath. No.
Just making stuff up. Will you stop it?
Genefield Swifts have not got floodlights.
Where the Genefield Swifts play?
Through the east.
Where? No, actually. Incorrect.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Gordon knows this because exactly. He's a draw man.
We're Scottish Cup draw man from the early rounds.
You turn left as you get through to the east.
Very close to McDermott Park.
That's what I mean. Northeast.
Right in the middle of the country.
Northeast.
Perth is not in the northeast.
Well, it's the northeasty. It's turned that way. But I knew where
Central
they were.
Belt,
They've not got floodlights, let me tell you now.
Don't you worry about that. Right, the only goal in the Premiership so far comes from Simon Murray, taking advantage of that mistake. Jason Holt is down. He's claiming for a penalty for St Johnstone. Looks soft. But we'll wait and see if the referees can be convinced. What did you make of the latest? Nothing. Nothing doing there. No penalty, nothing. No drama to be had. What did you make of the latest set of KMI results from the Scottish FA? You know, the key match incidents panel. They meet and they announce it every Friday.
Very interesting.
I know you'll have been all across it. I think, like, the main one, I think they all agreed. You remember Joe Newell's sending off last week?
At Tannadice. Yeah.
They all felt that should have been a straight red rather than a second book. Would you go along with that?
I've heard a lot of people agreeing with that.
Yeah.
And are you one of them, or?
Yeah, I would probably say I'm in with the KMI. Is it KMI?
It is.
And I totally agree with them. And I think they're doing a terrific job.
The KMIs are doing a great job, aren't they?
They all said that if there are degrees of mistake, that's one you can maybe make your peace with, apart from the old suspension thing. But, you know, he got sent off anyway, Mark. It was at the end of the game, so I don't think people will be too angry about the incorrect decision. But the panel all felt that VAR should have intervened to upgrade the second caution to a straight red for serious foul play right at the end. So Joe Newell, in one way, got away with it, if that's the right way of expressing things. And that was the only one that the panel felt that the on-field decision and the VAR intervention was wrong. So if you're thinking what else was involved last week, they're talking about Duke. Remember the
line or his goal?
The goal.
Oh, what was KMI saying about that?
Yeah, well, of course, right. You know, they just
say the correct decision.
Yeah, agreed that the
see easy enough. Those ones, I think. I think the one he clears off the line and the goal he scores, I think
they said the on-field decision unanimously supported, highlighted the referee was in a credible position and the defender didn't use his arm to block the shot. So pretty straightforward. Similarly, talking about the goal scored, it's very straightforward, isn't it? Because it hit, how could you argue anything other than it hits Duke's arm and goes into the goal? So I don't think there was too much drama last weekend, but that would be the latest.
It's amazing when you said Aberdeen have gone 3-2 ahead. Well, we know it was chalked off, but it's amazing how Celtic go from a second half defensive performance that, as Brendan Rodgers called it, passive, lacking in aggression. They go from that to the Champions League and keep a clean sheet against Atalanta. Astonishing the turnaround and discipline.
Oh, Sidibe steals the ball, races through, tries to go for the old snake hips with Trevor Carson and go round the goalkeeper, but it's a big save. Were you a fan of going round the goalie, or would you hit it early? What was your your thought process?
I mixed it up, but every time I went one on one, I was confident you'd round. Yeah, I'd probably go round more than I would just.
I've heard you heard Gary Lineker say this a lot. His theory, I won't try and pass it off as my own, that players don't really go round goalies the way they did. It's like a dying art. I think he might be right, you know.
Yeah.
Very rarely see it.
Don't
really
see it anymore. But yeah. I wonder why. Are the goalies more athletic? Do they worry that they're really going to spring across and get a hand on it or something? Or is it
I think maybe goalies are more active in terms of off their line to get that ball that comes through more?
Is the dink maybe more popular now because, I don't know, it's nice pitches and players kind of mastered that a bit. Did players dink it in your day?
No, I dinked.
You know the one where you sit
hold
the
on my day. The greatest goal scored by Liverpool was Kenny Dalglish at Wembley in the European when he dinked it.
I'm not asking you to tell me if you can ever remember one. I'm saying generally, was it as popular?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait for the goalie to go down just a wee dink.
We had good ability in our day, Gordon.
No. They just kicked it.
It's hard to have a conversation with you without you just trying to.
No, there's a bit of criticism,
yourself.
And I can see it written all over your face.
Pitches, you want to dink the goalie when it's bobbling around.
I'm sticking up for wishing myself.
Gordon's spot on.
This is where you feel smug if you're in my shoes. You single out a guy and talk about him at the start of the show. He's not even known for goal scoring, and he's popped up with the opener, Corey Ndaba. Is it because I always see him in the gym and chat away to him and think he's a nice guy that deserves some publicity? Maybe. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But it's Ross County and Elko, Marnock 1 and Corey Ndaba with a strike. 20 yards, low pass to keeper into the left corner. Ross County and Elko, Marnock 1.
I thought he played very, very well against Rangers. On a day when there were not a lot of distinguished performances on the park, but I thought he did really, really well. And you know, the Kilmarnock, they had to take a lift from that result last Sunday, and they put their noses in front just before half time. You'd fancy them now.
Yeah, it's amazing how a season just turns around with one result or 1 5 minutes. That 5 minute spell at Dens where they were down and out and come back, then you follow up with the Rangers result. Now you go ahead up at Dingwall, and all of a sudden you're right in the coattails of Motherwell if that stays the same. And Motherwell, we've all chatted about how well they're doing this season. Incredible turnaround for them.
I had Kilmarnock finishing high up in the league this season. I was a bit concerned with the start that they got off to, but see, looking at their squad and their substitutes, and they've got a real powerful squad, and they've got a good experienced manager who knows how to use that.
It was unavoidable for the Rangers fans last week, wasn't it, when David Watson came on for Kelly at the same time as Kieran Dowell came on for Rangers. And I saw a lot of Rangers fans making the point, hold on a minute here, should that ever really be, you know, who would you rather bring on, basically, was their theory. And because they did well last week, David Watson's on the bench again. This is the PFA Young Player of the Year, scores great goals, comes on and sets up the goal last week, albeit a kind of more of a hopeful turn over the top, but you know, still able to pick a team that's not got him in it, basically.
That's why I highlighted the squad. I think they've got a terrific squad, and if he keeps everybody fit, I think his problem at the beginning of the season was he was getting down to 10 men, and they talk about the European journey that affected them. But when you look through their initial squad, they're starting at 11 very strong. And when you've got good options, like you say, young Watson coming off the bench, it's a good position to have.
Aloha and Iller both won. It's the guy that comes on after us midweek here on Clyde One. It's Callum Gallagher.
He's a man
of many talents.
Throws at the back post,
banging them in.
Scored, then runs up and plays the tunes for the goal music. So well done to him, Callum Gallagher.
Spinning discs
with the goal. Colin sent me in his theory as well. Colin says that you don't see goalies chipped from outside the box as often anymore either. I think that must be an easy one. They're much bigger.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Statistically,
the goalkeepers are massive now, compared to that. Days.
You just have wee guys and goals.
No,
you scored so many goals.
We used to hide and they couldn't jump to it.
Players are not going round goalkeepers the way they used
to.
I think
that is a fact.
You think they do now?
Yeah.
No.
I don't feel like I see it. Where you go right round the goalie,
it's
he's lying and rolled
to
in.
To do with the defensive lines and the gap between the goalie. In your day, goalies were glued to their line.
goals were. How could you get around them then?
Exactly. Your nut job.
No, no, no. When the play was happening, they were glued to their legs.
They came waddling out.
Yeah. Oh, man.
With their tracksuit bottoms.
Concrete boots on. Round them.
Their tracksuit bottoms soaking.
Now, goalies play on their 18 yard line when the ball is in the opposition half.
Let's get this. Because you're a lot are much smarter than us, obviously, wouldn't be hard to hear you say. Let's get give me some insight on this for the second half. Do players go around goalies the way they used to? If not, why not? Give me all your theories here on the way finishing has changed. David Friel's rightly pointing out the original Ronaldo. He was the best.
He was the best. The old snake hips. Remember he done it? It was at UEFA Cup final, I think he did
Sensational.
It.
Sensational.
Brilliant.
Anyway, you can give us your theories on that right now because we've got business to take care of first. Hugh Keevans, are you ready?
I am. The last time Aberdeen won the league in 1985, six players from that squad went on to play for or manage either Rangers or Celtic. They are Alex McLeish, Dougie Bell, Neil Cooper, Billy Stark, Willie Falconer, and John Hewitt.
What a list that is. Some very well known names in there. Congratulations if you got them all right. Loads of you fell for Gordon Strachan, Mark McGee. But to be fair, many of you, because I know the knowledge out there is outrageous every single week, lots of you did get it right in the end. Mark Hay gets the old bronze medal, Nicky Duncan in second place, and Charlie Bear, Theo's uncle, is the winner with the gold medal. Well done to you all. And a really good I couldn't wait. I had a little bit of anticipation. Had a wee peek at the second half teaser as well. I like the look of it. I think you will get your teeth stuck right into that one. The halftime whistles are starting to go. Not in our featured matches yet, but Dumbarton 1, Administration hit Inverness Cali Thistle 1. Just going to be a real. And of course, I'm not sure if we touched on this before the game, but this is the team that's closest to Inverness.
Yeah.
You know, Dumbarton are. Is it 9 points?
There's a 12 point gap at kickoff time.
So you've got a fair way to go. And then that gets harder if you start offloading your best players to save money. But I know legends like Billy Mackay still in the team today, so see what he can come up with.
Yeah, at the end of the kind of week that they've had, you know, with Fraser up there, the possibility of legal action now on part of PFA Scotland because of the way some contracts have been terminated, and having to explain to players the ramifications of insolvency and where it will take the club. It's terrific that they've come a long, long, long way from Inverness to Dumbarton and got a goal down and they fought back to 1-1. I mean, you can only just wish them good luck. I think, they've got the 9-point deduction. They're down and relegation looks like an inevitability. Next season, if they are in the bottom league, they then start with that -5 points. Is that not a bit over the top?
Yeah, it's tough to recover from. Do you remember in Germany, the lowest moment? Well, no, in fact, that is a complete lie before I've even said it. There were many low moments in Germany, but when some Dumbarton fans came up to get pictures with Mark Wilson on account of him being a former Dumbarton player.
They'll love me.
I can't remember.
They'll love me.
I'll tell you genuinely, I'm not making this up.
Was that just discussion?
No, exactly when it was. It was in the fan zone in Stuttgart, and I would say,
wasn't your finest
45 minutes prior to you doing your that was the night you disappeared properly. The one where we were all walking down the street and you just about turned quick as a flash and headed off in the opposite direction without saying a word.
I haven't ruined the goalie that night.
He was raging me, by the way.
I couldn't care less what he called me.
He thought that was bang out of order from you.
Didn't tell the troops.
He was phoning you. You were talking nonsense. Something about a sore ankle. Remember that?
I was worried about him, concerned. You know, he's an older citizen in a city he didn't know, and I was thinking.
Remember that though? You did phone him and he started saying, "Oh, my ankle's sore." Why are you walking in the opposite direction from the hotel?
At double the speed. Where are you going so quickly? It's a strange one.
Before he gets himself in trouble, let's go half time. Dingwall, Fraser Wishart.
Yeah, half time, Ross County 0, Kilmarnock 1, Kelly deservedly ahead after a pretty poor first 45 minutes. to be honest, long periods where nothing happened at either end, but left back Corey Ndaba was the man who scored the only goal in 39 minutes. Well, good finish by the left back. Kelly actually started quite brightly. It was good signs for the game. Dan Armstrong, very prominent, a number of dangerous early crosses into the Ross County box. Really good defending by the county back three. But after that, nothing happened for a long period, really, until almost a half hour mark. The tempo dropped, too many straight passes. It wasn't even a shot and goal the first 25 minutes. We stretched it to say a John White header that went 15 yards wide and a blocked Brad Lyons shot that trickled into Laidlaw's arms were actually chances. But in 29 minutes came the first chance. Marley Watkins at full stretch under real pressure from the back three of Ross County. He got his foot to the ball, did really well to an Armstrong cross that went a yard wide. Then young Noah Chilvers tried his luck from 20 yards, curling shot pushed away comfortably by McCrory. Then Stuart Finlay almost opened the scoring 38 minutes. A big centre back, he drove forward, he showed really quick feet to burst past three defenders, and then saw his low right foot shot really well saved by Laidlaw. But a minute later did come that opening goal. The ball was cut back to the edge of the box, and Corey Ndaba, really good pace on the ball for the cutback. Then he again meant he could hit it first time. He drilled the ball low, home with his left foot from 20 yards, low to the keeper's left. No chance for Ross Laidlaw. Noah Chilvers again was in action for County just before the break. He struck his 20 yard shot really well, but again, unfortunately for him, it was straight at McCrory. But other than that, County not really threatening McCrory's goal enough, and they'll find it tough against this good Kelly back four in the second half. Hopefully a better second half ahead here in terms of a quality and chances. Half time, Ross County 0, Kilmarnock 1.
Is also half time at Dens Park for the visit of St Johnstone. Here's David Friel.
Yeah, Gordon, the same scoreline as well. Dundee 1, St Johnstone 0. Simon Murray, 8th goal of the season, has put Dundee control of this Tayside derby. Simo Valicari is on his dugout debut with St Johnstone. They have dominated possession. They've been pretty tidy on the ball, over 70% possession at last count. But Dundee have been ruthless. Striker at Simon Murray as he pounced on a defensive mix-up to score. That goal came in 12 minutes. It was a disaster for St Johnstone defender Jack Sanders. Long clearance from Trevor Carson. The first thing you know is the centre-half never let the ball bounce. He did, and Simon Murray came to life. He nipped in between Jack Sanders and Ross Sinclair, lobbed it over the both of them, and then the simple task of nodding the ball into the empty net as the defensive inquest started. And Dundee's next attack, it was almost 2-0. Ziad Lavkes, he's been full of running at left back. He found himself free in the box. He went for the bottom corner. This time Ross Sinclair did make a good save down to his right. St Johnstone, as I said, they've had so much of the ball. Jason Holt, the shot over the bar. Adama Sidibe, he's been the thicker things. He also put one over the bar. And then he wasted a great chance to level in 37 minutes. Really good pressure from St Johnstone. The one possession high up the pitch. Sidibe was able to race clean through in Trevor Carson. He seemed to be caught in two minds where to finish, where to ground. The goalkeepers we've been speaking about. Trevor Carson stood up. Sidibe tried to shimmy past him, but Dundee keeper made a massive save to preserve the lead. This game is in the balance. St Johnstone have been okay. Dundee on top. I do expect more goals in the second half. Dundee 1, St Johnstone 0 at half time.
So a couple of narrow score lines coming in. Home advantage counting for Dundee, not so much for Ross County. So those are your two Premiership games so far. Of course, we are keeping an eye on the Championship as well. Let's go there. Falkirk against Dunfermline. Lana Mackay's been watching.
Half time, and it's Falkirk 1, Dunfermline 0. Ethan Ross with the goal to give the Bairns a well-deserved lead at the break. And it's been the home side who have looked the most threatening in this first 45. They've created a number of good opportunities, but it was Ethan Ross who finally broke the deadlock inside half an hour. Gary Oliver teed up the 23-year-old inside the box. His shot ricocheted off the post before it hit off Pars defender Chris Hamilton and into the back of the net to send the home fans delirious. Technically an own goal, but Ross is 100% claiming this one. Aidan Nisbet came so close to doubling the host lead, taken down across from Leon McCann, but fired a shot straight at the goalkeeper. There was a long-range effort from former Hibs midfielder Dylan Tate, but that was dealt with by the on-loan Celtic keeper Toby Oluwayemi. The visitors have had a good few decent chances themselves. Craig Clay had a brilliant chance to open the scoring, but his volley took a deflection and was dealt with by Nicky Hogarth. Just before half-time, Leon McCann's header flashed across the face of goal, and it's Falkirk with a narrow lead at the break. Can the Pars respond in the second half? Still all to play for here in the Kincardine Derby. Half-time, Falkirk 1, Dunfermline 0.
Oh, the Bridge Derby, as according to Gordon DL. Those are your half-time reports from our three featured matches in Scotland. As it stands at the break, it's Dundee 1, St Johnstone 0, Ross County 0, Kilmarnock 1. Those are your Premiership scores. Aberdeen Dundee United still to come later, of course. In the Championship, Airdrie 0, Ayr 0, Falkirk 1, Dunfermline 0, Hamilton Accies 0, Morton 0, Livingston 0, Raith Rovers 1, and Queen's Park 0, Partick Thistle 1. Into League 1, it sits Alloa 0, Arbroath 1, Dumbarton 1, Inverness 1, Montrose 0, Cove Rangers 0, Stenhouse Muir 1, Kelty Hearts 0. We do have the Scottish Cup second round. Far too many ties for me to run through, but just a couple that might tickle your fancy in the local area. East Kilbride 1, Bonnyrigg Rows 0, Elgin City 0, Clyde 1 is a half time score there as well. Irvine Meadow doing very well, 3-0 up against Civil Service Strollers. Some of the league clubs involved, the League 2 clubs, all of them in fact. Jeanfield Swifts 0, Edinburgh City 1, the Bankies Hugh Keith 0, Clyde Bank 0 at the break there as well. So your second halves are coming up next.